You're listening to another episode of HR Talk featuring Ricky Baez. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in studio today. JC up in New York, we've got Ricky down in Florida with special guest Leslie in the house. We're going to be talking about a few very important things circling around leadership all the way down to Disrupt HR that's going to be taking place down in Orlando. Ricky, welcome back to your show, sir. How you doing?
Thank you, sir. I'm good. How's everything up there in Buffalo?
Oh, it's finally getting a little bit warmer, you know. It doesn't matter when people listen to the show. It's just forever cold up here. So, yeah, it's finally getting a little bit warmer. But things are a little more organized. You know, we enhanced the podcast setup in studio a little bit further here. Some more musical capabilities. Good things going on. Hey, a lot of great feedback. Want to say thanks out there to a lot of the people that chimed in on Twitter. We did have a few anonymous posters on the RSS feed of the website. So, really appreciate the feedback, let it be positive or negative. That definitely helps drive us.
That it does. We got a few anonymous these past couple of days, and it's exactly how you said. It drives us. It gives us a really good feedback on what to talk about later on. So, yep, keep it coming.
So on the line today, Rick, who's this fine lady with you, if we may?
I'll tell you this. She is actually one of my favorite people to work with. Her name is Leslie Misurak, and she runs an outfit called Misurak Executive Coaching. So Leslie and I worked together for years at Orange County Government, and she was leading up the training and development side over for the convention center, and she and I got to know each other very well. She does a really good job in helping organizations go from here to there when it comes to their leadership styles. And so today she runs her own executive coaching firm. And she's also my partner for Disrupt HR Orlando, which, by the way, JC, that's this Wednesday. This Wednesday here in Orlando, and you need to be here for that. But I know you're not going to be able to come here for this one, but for the next one, you need to. But this Wednesday, it is Disrupt HR. But Leslie is here today, and she's going to talk to us today about executive coaching. Leslie.
I am here. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Leslie. Thank you for coming on HR Talk. It's our pleasure to have you here.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for including me.
So as Rick was talking about with your background and experience, what's a little bit about what you do in the day-to-day nowadays? That's executive coaching, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I do executive coaching, I do some leadership coaching, and I also do some talent consulting.
Now, if you don't mind me asking real quick, Les, I'm going to jump right on that. So there's a big difference out there, though, between coaching, training, mentoring, consulting, and some people would also say therapy, but that kind of also blends in a little bit to coaching at times, isn't that right? What are we talking about when we're talking about coaching, let it be executive leadership, whatever the style may be? What makes that different than taking a training course and just reading a book or something?
Yeah, so all of those are really learning opportunities, and a really great question to help people understand what coaching is about. Coaching is really focusing on helping someone set their goals, creating outcomes, and helping them to manage those personal changes that they'd like to move forward.
So it's not like they bring you on board as a consultant, but more so like you're a partner in a way in making effective change happen. Let that be in those leadership traits or decision-making processes, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It is a partnership, a goal-setting partnership, an accountability partnership, whereas therapy might deal with healing someone's pain. Consulting often deals with helping an organization or a person solve problems. Mentoring is really about having an expert advise or guide. Training is really about setting out and developing a skill set or bringing in knowledge. So the coaching opportunity is really a conversation with actions and accountabilities attached to it. And you have a partner that you're doing this along the way. And it's very personal. It is typically one-to-one. It is in a confident situation to where you're able just to open up and talk about what those goals are, what they mean to you, and brainstorm different ways to get to those goals. And then you start to have this accountability partnership that goes along the way as you're actually acting on those goals.
Leslie, quick question for you. I know you said that it can get very personal, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go in into somebody's office and you're having a conversation with them about how they are coming across to other people, it's, you're right, it is very personal. What do you say to people who say, "You don't know me, get away from me, I don't need any help"? What do you say to them?
Well, you know, if that is their approach, they may not truly be coachable. So the opportunity is to first find out if someone has a desire to be coached. And if they are indeed coachable, they do want to learn, they do want to grow, they do want to hear what's being said, then we get to move forward. If it's a situation that's a little bit different, you know, you have a manager coming in and saying you're just not having good conversations, or you're not communicating well, and the employee pushes back and says, I'm fine, leave me alone, then that becomes more of a management problem, a more of a management issue to deal with. But quite often, by the time someone comes to me, they're interested in being coached. They do have a desire to grow. They have a desire to be developed professionally. Maybe they want to be better in their role. They want to get to the next level. They have some sort of a professional dream. And but then there's also other tools. If people are feeling like, okay, my communication skill is just fine, that's why we have these other amazing tools out there called 360s, to where we can, you know, find out from other people, get other people's input, also confidentially, and make sure that we are sharing that information. And then quite often, if someone is indeed coachable, quite often this is where they have that kind of awakening moment, or that aha moment, that first one, like, holy moly, this is what people are thinking about me. How come I haven't seen that before?
Now, wait a second. That 360 report, that 360, that's one of those after action type things, or in the process of coaching someone where the workers have the opportunity to try to get the leader fired.
That's
right?
Not
they just lay it out. Right?
No, that's what I heard. That's what I thought it was, to be honest. I'm like, you want to get them fired? 360.
I mean, we've all seen it before. We've seen someone push in. You've got the 360, you know, feedback survey and everything, and it's asking about like the emotional well-being or state, or, you know, going a little bit in depth into their leadership traits and styles. But at the end of the day, the effective change that comes from that is direct with the coach, or this is something that is going to get turned over to their leadership chain, or maybe the executive board. And then, well, someone might be out of a job at the end of the day with that 360.
It is completely for positive feedback. Yes, it's going to be, we're going to get developmental information. We're going to get opportunities for that person to advance. But first of all, let me step back. If you are working with a professional coach, there are all sorts of confidentiality pieces that we have to adhere for as a professional coach. And first of all, when a 360 happens, the only person that's going to see the results of that 360 are the coach, for example, myself, and my client that I'm working with. I am never going to share that with the HR department. I'm never going to share that with their boss or their board. The opportunity is for the client that I'm working with, for them to build trusting relationships with their boss or whomever is the person who initiated the coaching opportunity in the organization. Sometimes it comes from the C-level team. Sometimes it comes from the HR team or the talent team. It just depends on how the organization's set up, and sometimes it comes directly. But the only two people that see that are myself and my client.
Nice.
The opportunity is for the client then to share with their boss or whoever has initiated it the information. And I typically suggest doing that after we've started looking at setting some goals. Give them a couple of weeks. So, for example, if we were to do a 360 and went over the results today, I would ask my client to use this next week or two to really absorb the information, because that first time they look at it, they're like, holy moly, you feel like you just kind of run into a brick wall.
Yeah.
But as you start to think about it and absorb it and have it in the back of your brain as you're going throughout your day-to-day actions, then you start to pick up on things. Oh, I am doing that, or I am doing that. Oh, I haven't been doing enough of that. Whatever comes in the 360.
So
I ask them to spend a little time to just kind of get married to it, basically. This is what people think about you, and it's real.
Do you have a lot of business that come directly to you through the transformational changes and say, okay, we're going to bring you on board and let's try to do this for the executive core? Do you have a lot of people that might turn to you directly, like in a one-on-one basis in trying to enhance and improve their executive stature?
Yeah, I have it both ways. So quite often it's going to be the, like I said, the executive team or the HR team that contacts me because they've got a person or a group of people that they would like to either have 360s done on or do some coaching or a combination thereof. Or then I have people that come to me individually that find me on LinkedIn or through a referral through a friend, something like that. And they come in two different ways. Quite often, if someone's coming to me individually, they're struggling with their organization. They're not feeling love, so to speak.
Yeah.
They are trying to figure out maybe what their career path looks like and how leadership can help them get along that career path. And quite often when someone comes to me from an organization, it's because the organization appreciates them. They want to keep them. They want to keep them engaged. They want to develop them further. Maybe they see them as a future successor in another role, something like that.
Yeah.
So they come for different reasons. Seldom do I get a request because someone's not performing. You know, coaching is really for people that are performing. Managing is something for people that aren't performing,
yeah.
If that makes sense. The manager has to step in and actually manage their employees, which is hard because it's much easier to give it to a coach and say, hey, my employee's not performing. Can you fix them? Well, first of all, you got to manage them first.
So question, Leslie. So have you ever had a situation to where you was providing these services and you get all this feedback and you spend a lot of time just managing the whole process, getting the feedback, aggregating the data, and when you deliver the results to that leader just doesn't want to do anything with it. They'll say, thank you very much. I appreciate your help, but I'm going to leave things just the way they are. So I guess it's a two-part question. The first part is, have you ever had that happen? And second, if you did, how did you feel about that? Because if they don't want to do anything with it, then you know how these leaders, they talk. Business owners talk, right? So when they're out on the golf course with the other leader and they say, hey, how did that coaching session go? Oh, it was crap because nothing happened. And they don't even say the whole truth, which was I just didn't want to do anything with it. So have you had that happen to you before?
I've had that happen one time.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't take it personally because everybody owns their own actions. And that's the thing I've really learned as I've gone through probably this last 8 or 9 years of doing coaching and spending time in this space that, you know, you don't take this personally. Mm. And, but you know, it's very similar to, I had this conversation not too long ago. It's very similar to the fact that you probably would not blame your dietitian if you didn't actually lose weight.
That's a good point.
That's
a really good point.
Yeah. So it is ownership. As a coach, as I said, my opportunity is to initiate a conversation and help them develop their actions. And I'm the accountability partner. I'm not the action partner. Mm. And quite often if someone needs to blame someone else because their coaching session didn't work, as I put my air quotes around the word work, they probably are blaming other people in other areas of their life.
Have you noticed any trends lately in leadership styles and changes to the leadership in organizational styles that seem to be coming up more and more over the past few years? Any trends of people looking to change perspectives or view things differently or something that you've had to hone in on a little bit more, let it be generationally or per industry, to try to get them to change? Any particular trends?
Yeah, there's a couple of trends, and it's not so much generational or industry. It's really, I think, a sign of the times. And there's a few key things that I seem to be running across a lot lately. One around executive presence, another around being an authentic leader. And because old school leadership with the authenticity piece, old school leadership was, you know, you never let your guard down. You didn't show emotion. You were stoic. You went in, you did your business and you left. And now we're really talking about authentic leaders because people want an emotional, personal, professional connection with their leaders. They want it both ways. They want to feel it with their leader, and they want their leader to feel it with them.
Absolutely.
So I got a quick question, Leslie. So you said executive presence. It's what exactly does that mean?
Well, I think what she meant, hang on a sec, though. I got your back, Les. When you're talking about executive presence, you mean like good gifts, like that bottle of cognac or something like that, right?
Exactly.
Oh, sweet.
That's the other spelling.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's not what she meant.
Totally, yeah,
Jim. Yeah. Wrong. Wrong avenue. Okay.
There's a lot of pieces that go into executive presence. And first, quite often people think, oh, executive presence, they are dressed all sloppily, so they can't be an executive. Well, how someone is dressed is actually the smallest piece of executive presence, right? It is the piece that someone sees first, but it is the piece that means the least typically. And what executive presence has to do with is how someone communicates, how they present information. Do they come across in a professional manner that is appropriate for their role? Are they showing up in a manner or behaving in a manner that is appropriate for the role or the role that the organization maybe wants them to move into? For example, if they're a director of, say, the sales department, and they're a really strong director, they're showing up well there, they're communicating well there, but they see this director as a potential VP of sales or even moving into a more operational role, like a VP of operations or something down the road, because they just feel like they have a stronger skill set, they may need to work on their communication skills that prove they're able to perform at the next level. So maybe it's talking about things that are beyond just sales, but talking about how sales impacts the organization and understanding how the organization impacts sales, those sorts of things. It's really about tying things together. It's also about having the nerve to act. And someone with executive presence or strong executive presence has the nerve to do the hard things. Say the hard things, be real about something. You know, someone that maybe doesn't have executive presence or doesn't have that nerve will avoid the real topics. And so it's really about how you're showing up, whether it's through word or actions.
As you're coaching people in this process, though, Leslie, you're really talking about a deep introspective to the leadership style, that deep turnaround and look inside. And if someone's left to do that by themselves, I mean, it's all possible for us, right? I mean, you could always dig deep, hit the golf course, drink the cognac, you know, get into the environment and whatever, you know. But when you take it from this more professional coaching route, it's that deep introspective, and you're helping guide and lead that person's development through that introspective, right?
That's exactly it. And like you said, the introspective, it is very personal. That's why I said in the beginning, coaching is personal. It's different for every person. I could have 10 people. I'm actually working with several people at the moment that are actually working on pieces of executive presence, but it's all different for each of them. So it is personal. And my opportunity is to help them dig deep within inside themselves and come up with their answers.
The only time I give answers or possible
suggestions is when someone is so completely stuck, they can't see something.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. So it's really great.
So you have a program that focuses on that, right? It's called The Empowerful Leader.
Yeah. The Empowerful Leader is a 2-day experience. I don't call it a training because I'm not teaching anyone anything. It is a 2-day program where people develop their story. First of all, we start off with them understanding who they are, where they've come from, what their value system looks like. And then we talk a little bit about some components of leadership and how leadership has changed. But we end up the 2-day experience with them developing their leadership vision for the future, how they want to be seen as a leader, what they want people to believe about them as a leader, and they develop their leadership vision and develop out an action plan. And this is a completely personal small group experience where I do it with up to 10 people, and they are working with each other, getting to know each other, but developing their story. And it's incredibly powerful when they walk away feeling like they've had a bit of a life-changing experience. It's fairly very cool.
I was just thinking back to a time when Ricky did something with 10 people in Vegas. Man, that was life-changing for them, let me tell you. Hey,
can we be talking about this on the air today?
Hey-o. Yeah, okay, jokes aside, though, how did the two of you transition and blend and bond and get this Disrupt HR piece? What's going on with Disrupt HR? I hear so much about it. I wish I could be there this week. I truly do. Let's talk about that real quick.
Oh, well, Disrupt HR is such a cool thing. It is an opportunity where people come together and listen to very short Pachacacha style talks. They are little 5-minute segmented talks where people can put disruptive ideas forth. And it's a way for people to get to hear other people's ideas and maybe learn some out of the box thinking. We like to call it disruptive because we wanted people to walk away with something completely different that they hadn't thought about before. Maybe one of those aha moments. In a couple of years, I happened to be doing some internet surfing and ran across Disrupt HR. And I immediately called and said, I want it for Orlando. And as soon as I got the approval, my first call was to Ricky and said, Ricky, will you join me on this adventure? And I don't think he hesitated for even a quarter of a second. Like, yes, I'm all in. Before he really even knew what it was yet, then he had to go back and go to the website. And he's like, I'm totally in. And since then, we have had so much fun. Ricky, I cannot tell you how much fun it's been working with you on this. And we're doing our fourth one on April 11th this week. We're so excited. We have 10 talkers. Isn't that right, Ricky? 10?
We have 10 talkers. Both you and I are part of the speaking list. But here's JC, here's the part that got me about Disrupt HR. So when Leslie came to me about this, and you know, anything with Leslie, I'm like, absolutely. But when I looked it up, I'm like, really, really, yes, I'm definitely doing this, because it's for every HR person that's out there listening, when they go to a regular HR conference, it's one person's talking for an hour, and maybe it's exciting, maybe it's not exciting, but either way, I don't know how you can make employment and labor law exciting, but depends on the event, right?
Hey, we're trying to do it once a week here, brother. Okay, we keep that rolling, right?
Keep that cognac coming, right? So when I found out more about this organization, it's about 8 to 10 speakers. Each speaker has exactly 5 minutes to get their point across. And it doesn't have to be HR. It can be anything with talent management, anything that the audience can learn from walking away from it. So they have a PowerPoint presentation of exactly 20 slides. Each slide transitions to the next slide automatically, and the presenter has no control over the presentation. As soon as you start talking, the timer starts. So you better be on your game. So once you get to that 20th slide, those 15 seconds are up. Whether you're done talking or not, you're off the stage.
Now, is it a 20-slide mandate for everybody? Is this like a big thing, or could someone just throw up a picture or a movie clip of Star Wars or something, just talk about whatever the hell they want for 5 minutes?
20-slide mandate.
We got that part covered. That's locked and loaded.
Yes.
Give me a couple examples real quick of topics that were covered previously. What's something that would be disruptive that we might want to check out at Disrupt HR, or something that you've seen that had great impact before?
Oh, wow.
Actually, can I talk about one we've got coming up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have a gentleman, Jordan George, who is going to be talking about improv. And talking about improv in that HR and training and learning space. So I cannot wait to see what he does with this. And we've got another speaker talking about change coming up. We've got one talking about learning and development and the future of learning and development. We've got some fun talks. I'm doing one called Why Do You Hate Old People? And Ricky, what's yours called?
I'm talking about how to bring people on board and how to keep them on board, and it's called Bring Them On, Keep Them On.
See, I was going to do one about becoming humble in your older age after not being a executive anymore and just having a goddamn podcast, you know? But that's fine. That's neither here nor there. Maybe some other time.
Well, we do have the TED show coming on, where a gentleman has started a business here in Orlando, and he is doing live. His name is Ted. He's doing live Facebook TED talks or TED show conversations every day with people.
Yeah, he might have some copyright infringement issues there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so he's not calling it TED talks. It's
okay.
TED show, and his name is Ted. And he's doing some cool stuff, and he's going to come in and talk about his experience with all of this. So
cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But we've had some really amazing talks about HR and learning and development topics, talent topics. Even we had data analytics, we've had culture, organizational culture conversations. It's been really amazing.
All right. So Disrupt HR is a international thing, kind of like Amway back in the day, right? No, I'm kidding. No, but it's an international organization. And then each city, if they chose to, could open up their own branch, so to say, and have their own sessions, staying in line with the brand, the value, and the topic types, right?
Right. Yeah. There's well over 100 cities around the world where people have bought the rights to Disrupt HR for their city, and it's amazing to see it pop up. And see new cities coming on every month, and it's contagious.
Do you have executives in other cities doing the Disrupt HRs in other cities come to Orlando to check out what you're doing? Do you swap back and forth?
Actually, we have somebody coming from Canada. Is that right?
Somebody coming down from Canada.
Yeah, so we have – so actually, Leslie, I've got the list here. So we have Clint Clarkson. He is flying in from Canada to do a talk about We Suck at Training. And then we have Jordan George doing Improving HR, The Subtle Art of Making Shit Up. That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
Pam Gass is talking about Don't Poach Our Coach. Roxanne Bellamy, she's actually from Buffalo. She and I talked. She was at our first Disrupt HR a couple of years ago. Hers is called Ready, Set, Go, Navigate Change Like a Pro. Then we got Wagner Fulco. He has one called Believing Yourself, Progress, and Success. Aaron LeClaire, he's talking about going beyond the benefit. Adam Richard Dolak, he'll be talking about the myth of the overqualified employee. And of course, Ted from the TED Show is talking about what's your story. And Leslie just wants to know why people hate old people. And I just want to bring people on and keep people on.
Hey, big shout out to Pam. Why I haven't heard from you yet, not sure, but we should hook this up and have you on the show one of these days down in studio up here in New York while we got Ricky on as well. Pam, don't hesitate.
Actually,
to reach
Roxanne.
It's Roxanne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Pam, Roxanne. I'm sure Pam will fly up.
Pam, whoever you are out there, feel free to call me too. We'll do coffee. It's fine.
No cognac?
No cognac. No cognac.
With cognac.
We're taking a different approach to the style this time, right?
Okay.
All right. So, is there a cost? Can people show up at the door? Is this something that is open to the public?
So yes, there is a cost, and no, people cannot show up to the door this time because we are oversold. We are standing room only.
Yep.
Yeah. And but there is a cost. So our website for this is disrupthr.co/Orlando. And or is that / Orlando? / Orlando. How about that?
Fair enough.
And It is, we'll be doing another one in September, and we're looking at September 26th as our tentative date. So that'd be September 26th, 2018. And so we'll be starting to talk about our next one very soon. But the great thing is if people are interested, they're welcome to reach out to Ricky via the podcast information, and we'll share links to the videos as soon as they are ready, because every talker has their own video that they walk away with a few weeks later, and we'll put those up on our websites and connect to the Vimeo so that people can see the really interesting talks if they weren't able to come see it in person.
Well, good to go. I'm looking forward to coming down and checking that out in one of the upcoming seminars, if not this September in and of itself. Leslie, can't thank you enough for being on today. Ricky, just turn it over to you for a few minutes. The two of you talk for a second, and we do have to close up here momentarily.
So it's Disrupt HR again. That is this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. at the EA Sports Headquarters in Maitland, Florida. But again, we are sold out, but we will be having another one in September. So Leslie, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can reach me directly at 407-716-9318 is my cell number, and that's how most people contact me. My email is Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at MiseraCoaching.com, M-I-Z-E-R-A-K coaching.com, or they can go to my website, MiseraCoaching.com, and I'd love to talk with you about coaching and leadership development.
And you can always contact me at 407-501-8425 or email me ebaez@baezco.com, or I do that little bird thing, Twitter, at Baezco, on Instagram, Baezco Learn, and on Facebook at Baezco.
And you. For anyone out there that wants to comment on any one of these web shows, web podcast, the magical web shows inside the magic computer box. Holy smokes. If you want to comment on the podcast, stop by Baezco, look up our RSS feed, and feel free to be anonymous. We're a big fan of that. It's been our pleasure having Leslie on HR Talk with Ricky Baez. It's been
fun.
We're going to do it again sometime soon. Ladies and gentlemen, drive safe. Have a good night.